break open doors, leading you down into my core. Will I become so numb? You fill my soul. My spirit sleeping somewhere cold until you find me there and make it back home.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, November 10th, 2016 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild and dystopic ride it is. And, you know, as Santayana would remind us, those who don't remember or learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And speaking of history, there's an interesting documentary titled The Four Horsemen. You can find it on Amazon Prime. It's also on YouTube. You can watch it for free on YouTube. In that documentary, Sir John Glubb's The Fate of Empires is mentioned and referenced. And we would do well to observe the lessons of history in America these days. And so today we'll talk a little bit about that at the opening of the broadcast. Then we'll touch on kind of the two sides of the up and coming Trump presidency. The two sides being, there might be some good that comes from it, I will admit. But then there is also the other side, which is what I would call or generally categorize as, Donald Trump's kind of latent fascist tendencies, and that would be the downside. So we'll talk about that today, and in that fashion, in that spirit, we will begin with some excerpts from the documentary, The Four Horsemen. So I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. Feel free, as always, to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com. And we'll also be taking calls a little bit later in the broadcast for comments. I'm curious how people view this season in the American empire, if you will, and the up-and-coming Trump presidency. So, without further ado, let's dive into the excerpt from the documentary, The Four Horsemen. Go ahead, please.
The end of World War II, we had 50% of the world's gross domestic product. We were making 54,000 airplanes a year, 7,000 ships, et cetera, et cetera. And we were the new Rome. And we recognized it and devised a power management scheme in the 1947 National Security Act to, we thought, manage it. And it worked fairly well during the Cold War. But we haven't done anything since, and I think that's another sign of our inability to grasp the new world, if you will.
Empires do not begin or end on a certain date, but they do end. And the West has not yet come to terms with its fading supremacy. At the end of every empire, under the guise of renewal, tribes, armies, and organizations appear and devour the heritage of the former superpower, often from within. In his essay, The Fate of Empires, the soldier, diplomat, and traveler, Lieutenant General Sir John Glubb, analyzed the life cycle of empires. He found remarkable similarities between them all. An empire lasts about 250 years, or 10 generations, from the early pioneers to the final conspicuous consumers who become a burden on the state. Six ages defined the lifespan of an empire. The age of pioneers, the age of conquests, the age of commerce, the age of affluence, the age of intellect, ending with bread and circuses in the age of decadence. There are common features to every age of decadence. An undisciplined, overextended military. The conspicuous display of wealth. A massive disparity between rich and poor. A desire to live off a bloated state. And an obsession with sex. But perhaps the most notorious trait of all is the debasement of the currency. The United States and Great Britain both began on a gold or silver standard, long since abandoned. Rome was no different.
So it started on a principle that was very sound, and it was on a silver standard. But as it corrupted further and further and further, the Roman denarius got to the point where it was basically a copper coin, and they learned how to plate, and it was washed in silver, and in circulation the plating came off. And at the end, all the senators that really did at one time represent the people only were interested in representing how much wealth they could steal at the top.
Great empire wealth always dazzles, but beneath the surface, the unbridled desire for money, power, and material possessions means that duty and public service are replaced by leaders and citizens who scramble for the spoils.
Historically, all the signs of the demise of empire are beginning to develop. Some are more trenchant than others. This current financial and economic crisis, that sort of thing always accompanies the demise of empire.
The people of Rome were constantly being distracted by the gladiatorial events, and the politicians knew that they did this. Whenever there was unrest among the people, they had a huge event going on, and they created a new event with lots and lots of gladiators, and every day we're doing that. That is a common trait of declining empires. And so today in the United States, for example, you find a tremendous emphasis on all kinds of television programs that distract people from what's really going on. Sports is a big part of that, as it was in the gladiator times. In essence, we've been lulled into a lethargy, and we've accepted it.
Just as our sports stars today earn vast sums, so did Roman charioteers. In the second century, one by the name of Gaius Apuleius Diocles amassed a fortune of 35 million sesterces in prize money, equivalent to several billion dollars today. Strangely, perhaps, there's another profession that is disproportionately hallowed as an empire declines. The Romans, the Ottomans, and the Spanish all made celebrities of their chefs.
And this, again, is typifying the end of an empire, where things were so great, we have this last oomph of momentum that we used to be great, and we felt great, and we don't feel it anymore. So everyone is out searching for it. Well, maybe it's in the best food, or the best clothes, or the best music, or the best movies, or a reality TV show, or another magazine. But you can never get enough of what you don't need. What you need is a strong moral conviction that is pervasive throughout the society, and integrity reigns.
There's a vast apathy. There's a vast amoralism, even a political nature to it. That is to say, there are vast numbers of people who don't give a damn. And so there's this natural, I suppose, entropy. Any living organism, which an empire is, of course, over time dies. Question is, how does it die? Does it die in a violent cascade of events, or does it die over a long period of time?
The baby boomer generation were born into this age of decadence. Perhaps unwittingly, they've broken the unspoken intergenerational contract. Through unfettered consumerism, spiraling house prices, and a desire for eternal youth, The baby boomers have squandered future generations' inheritance.
My generation, the generation right after my generation, I think we forgot that little phrase in the preamble to our Constitution, which says, and our posterity. All of a sudden, it became us, period.
The baby boom generation, which I'm a part of, has gone and done the biggest misallocation of capital in the history of mankind. We have had cheap oil, or cheap energy is a better way to phrase it. We've had an abundance of ideas, and we have chosen a system and perpetuated it that is probably one of the worst ways to use the blessings that were bestowed upon us. And we are going to pay a price for that.
Human beings are inconsistent and paradoxical. We hope for peace and immortality, but continually invent new ways to destroy each other. We're capable of the kindest, most noble acts, and the most horrific atrocities.
Human beings are complex creatures. I mean, for example, we're capable right now, at this minute, of acting in such a way as to make it likely, if not certain, that our grandchildren are going to face terrible disasters. And we're consciously acting to accelerate that likelihood, even though we all love our grandchildren. How can you be more contradictory than that?
In spite of all the economic activities of last 50, 60, 70 years since the Second World War and all the industrialization, we have not yet managed to solve the problem of poverty, deprivation, hunger, malnutrition. Millions of people every night go to bed without food, and millions of people are throwing away their food. Waste on the one hand, and poverty and deprivation and hunger on the other hand. Malnutrition on the one hand, and obesity on the other hand. What kind of system have we created?
Why, with such brilliant knowledge on the planet, are we still struggling to distribute wealth fairly? How has the human race developed a flawed system of government and economics that serves the few at the expense of the many? And with such poverty in an age of plenty, why have we not had the will to change such a vicious social structure?
Greed is the fundamental kind of ingredients for the immoral economy. The problem is not that there is not enough in the world. People say that there is a poverty, we have to create more wealth. There is enough in the world for everybody's need, as Mahatma Gandhi said, but not for anybody's greed.
But is it just greed, or does it go deeper than that? Is the problem systemic?
As a civilization, we've obviously had a great run. We've done very well. We had the Industrial Revolution. We survived that. We've built a lot of modern military technology. We've survived that so far. We've built a banking system, and we're still struggling with that part of it. But you know, we've had a good run.
It's kind of like when I was working on Wall Street for 7 years. I had the experience some people would have. Let's say working at a meat processing plant, they become vegetarian. You know, you work on Wall Street and you see how these banks like Goldman, J.P. Morgan, these other banks make money. When you see money, it kind of makes you sick.
Well, I think if the people knew what the banking system is up to, as Henry Ford said, there would be a revolution tomorrow morning. The fact is most people think that what a bank does is lend you money that someone else has put in the bank previously. But what a bank actually does, what a commercial bank does, is to create money from nothing and then lend it to you at interest. If I do that, if I manufacture money in my own home, it's called counterfeiting. If an accountant creates money out of nothing in the company accounts, it's called cooking the books. But if a bank does it, it's perfectly legal. And so long as you allow fraud to be legalized, then all kinds of problems are going to pop up in the economic system, which you can't do anything about.
Private banks create money out of nothing and lend it at interest. Now, that sounds absurd. When I teach sophomores, you know, about money and banking and how banks, they never believe it. And so you have to go through it again and again. Yes, banks really do create money. They really do. Here's how it happens. And it's absurd, and they're right to doubt that that could possibly be what's really going on. But it is.
Now, if the banking lobby is very strong, they're going to say, well, we don't want to change this system. We're making so much money out of it. What we have to do is, A, try and convince the people that it's their fault, that their wage claims are too high, and that's why we're having lots of inflation, or people are speculating on housing, and that's why house prices are going up. What they're not going to say is that this is happening because banks are creating money out of nothing and pumping it into the system, and that's why prices are going up.
But how is it that we've ended up with a system in which banks have the power to create money? Since 1971, when President Nixon took the United States off what was left of the gold standard, the world has operated under a system of money known as fiat. The dollar, the pound, the euro are all government fiat currencies. Fiat is a Latin word meaning let it be so. It is the law that this government currency be money. Indeed, without that legal enforcement and the fact that we must pay taxes with this money, that dollar bill or that computer digit that represents a dollar would be pretty much meaningless. Only the government has the power to issue fiat money, but banks can create it through lending. Over the last 40 years, since this system of fiat money became the global norm, the supply of money has grown exponentially. In fact, we've seen the greatest growth in the supply of money in history. But who benefits? Of course, those that have the power to issue money, governments and banks. Then, those companies and individuals that get this money early. They can spend it before the prices of the things they want to buy have risen to reflect the new money in circulation. In other words, they get services, products or assets cheap. But prices soon rise, so holders of assets such as houses or shares will then see gains without there necessarily being any improvements to the company or house in question. Often this can lead to speculative bubbles. But what about those at the bottom of the pyramid? Those on fixed wages or incomes? Those who live in remote areas? Or those with savings? By the time this newly created money has filtered down to them, the prices of the things they want to buy have increased. Their savings buy them less, however, and their wages remain largely unchanged. In some cases, they have to take on debt just to be able to afford the things they were previously able to buy, which means they have to go back to the banks. In reality, this process of creating money only redistributes wealth from the bottom to the top of the pyramid, and thus that ever-increasing gulf between rich and poor gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, when you get off the gold standard and you go into a fiat money currency, combined with a fractional reserve banking system, you end up compounding debt faster than you can ever possibly produce to support that debt. So eventually, you're going to find yourself back into debt slavery. And that's what's happened in the U.S. For every dollar of GDP, for example, in the U.S., it also creates something like $5.50 worth of debt. Because this is what happens when our economy flips over and basically capsizes. And, of course, the government solution now to address all the problems is basically to create more debt.
You can never get enough of a currency that doesn't work. You can print it to kingdom comes, but you can't print wealth, and you can't get yourself out of debt by making more debt. If you could print wealth, Zimbabwe would be the largest, most prosperous country on the planet.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are, I've been saying for a little while now, you know, the decline of empire, the decline of the American empire. And, this is disturbing. You know, you combine this with what I call the glasnost effect. It's almost as if, you know, we could learn from history. We could be better as a society here in America, and we could do something unprecedented on the world historical stage. We could. We have the capability, particularly in the age of information. You know, the information age gives us a wealth of tools at our disposal. The Internet of Things and the collaborative commons that the bad guys are building Jeremy Rifkin puts it in his book, The Zero Marginal Cost Society, to eclipse capitalism, to sunset capitalism, those tools, the Internet of Things and the collaborative commons, give us an unprecedented capability to learn from history in the information age. We could learn from the convenience of anywhere, our own home, in our bathrobes, or what have you, anything we wanted. You know, you have online universities now. Think about how unprecedented this is in history. We could learn to do and be better. But you couple, or you add in to the historical record, and again, that record was drawn from Sir John Glubb's The Fate of Empires. And so you take that historical record and you add in what I call the glasnost effect, this openness and transparency that will result in the complete disenchantment of the general society and a general call to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what's coming. And I have mentioned repeatedly the huckster, Mike Huckabee's foreign policy speech at the CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, back on September 28th, 2007, during the 2008 presidential election cycle. And specifically, the words, you know, the Marxist revolutionary words. He was talking about exactly what we have happening here and how to create this kind of destabilization in America, the precursor to nation building, which Barack Obama has repeatedly called for, is destabilization, because nation building is essentially the stability doctrine, you know, stabilization and reconstruction, a la the Rand Corporation. But Huckabee said, "We face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up." Well, isn't that what we see in the protests that are taking place? Mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up. He was speaking specifically of what he called the Islamic world and overthrowing their governments. Listen to the chants. You know, we should, maybe we'll play that clip in the next segment here. But, you know, New York, according to CNN, New York, thousands march outside Trump's home. Lady Gaga protest against Donald Trump early Wednesday outside Trump Tower in New York. Oakland, 40 fires started. Los Angeles, Chicago. Los Angeles, they burned a Trump effigy. All across the country, people losing their minds. But is it really just an organic uprising, or is there more to the story? We'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
In to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This Thursday, November 10th, 2016. So what are we talking about here? Let's get back kind of on track. Things are happening in America, forces at play behind the scenes, beneath the surface. Most people don't realize. To once again quote Nesta Webster, we need to be, well, you know, like Jesus said, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Not harmless, because harmless obviously connotes the idea that one can do no harm. But to be gentle is bridled power. So be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. And we need to get knowledged up to be wise. And as Nesta Webster put it, you know, when you when you realize how naive most people are and how uninformed, how they really don't understand that, sure, certain designing men or intriguers, as some folks have put it, folks like Andrew Jackson, for example, intriguers. Andrew Jackson dealt with that in his own administration, in his own cabinet. Folks like Nicholas Biddle and John C. Calhoun. It happens. Intriguers, designing men, get together in secret and plot and scheme and decide they want to do things and control things and control. It does happen. It does actually happen. Yes, Virginia, there is in times a conspiracy. Sometimes people get together in secret and plan to do things that they don't want to openly disclose to people because, well, they might get caught and people might get upset. So when you realize that not only does this happen, but those same intriguers often try to leverage the people's sentiments in Bernaysian fashion against themselves, in Bernaysian fashion, in Marxist, you know, Marxist propaganda does that effectively, but, you know, with the Bernaysian marketing and manipulation model, all the more so. It kicks that Marxist propaganda into high gear. So when you understand how that machinery works, Nesta Webster, her words are an understatement from World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, when she wrote, "It is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch." And that's almost literal, because that's what Karl Marx did, and it's the same thing that's happening today in industries and different pockets of American society. People are being divided apart and pitted against one another, balkanized, collided against one another in very destructive fashion, and they don't even realize how they're being drawn apart, divided against one another. Old and young, man, woman, black, white, you know, Asian, Hispanic, rich, poor. All of the possible lines that can be drawn, religious, you know, Christian, Muslim, Jew, etc. There is less tolerance in the context of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's words and more ignorance and a rush to judgment. How does this happen? And people are being collided against one another and used against themselves. That's what Karl Marx did. He infiltrated the French Workers' Party, ingratiated himself to them with the specific intent of weaponizing them against themselves. And that's what happened, which is why Nesta Webster's words are so apropos. She's absolutely right. Utterly despicable what he did. It's happening in America now. Him ingratiating himself to those people and then saying, "Come on, guys, you don't have to stand for this. It's time to throw off the chains of oppression. Workers of the world, unite." All that nonsense. It's what's happening today. So back to Mike Huckabee's words from his foreign policy speech back in 2007 on the 2008 presidential campaign trail. He said, "We face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up and overthrowing their governments." Well, you know, speaking of that, there's video coverage of the protests happening across the country. But are they real? Are they organic? Or are they staged, provocateur-induced events? If you're ready with that clip, go ahead, please.
No KKK, no racist USA, no Trump. No KKK, no racist USA.
Not my president, not my president, not my president.
So is it organic or is it staged and provocateur induced? And that's a layered, perhaps multi-layered question. Because even if it was an organic uprising across the country, which I firmly believe it was not, there is, you know, a history of inciting or inducing these kinds of things through organizations that are usually controlled in COINTELPRO fashion. And what is COINTELPRO? The portmanteau for the FBI's covert and at times illegal projects conducted aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, and disrupting domestic political organization. For what purpose? Using those organizations as a tool. I always forget. Who said it? Was it Lenin or Trotsky? You know, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it or even start it. But back to Huckabee's words. We face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up and overthrowing their governments. We see that happening here in the streets now, don't we? So he went on to say, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory. Aha, intellectuals providing the theory, and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall. Aha. Well, the firewall or the middle class has all but been eviscerated in America thanks to the Obama administration's evisceration of it. Obama, I am for the middle class. Well, let's define terms. What does that mean to you? So the middle class in America is in decline, and as a result, in paraphrasing and oversimplifying, we can see these ideas introduced into the ideas as the spark from the intellectuals introduced into the tinderbox of the underclass, as Huckabee put it, and fueling what's happening across the country. And that coincides with the glasnost effect, resulting in the destabilization of America. So you have these functionaries, if you will, in COINTELPRO fashion, being controlled whether directly or indirectly, and indirectly works more effectively because then they don't know they're being controlled or handled. They're just being propagandized, and it's an inducement. And along with that, you have the Operation Gladio and Gladio B effect, including the strategy of tension. You incorporate those and you end up right exactly where Albert Pike's allegedly spurious letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, the great Italian liberator, I say tongue in cheek, where Pike's letter outlined three world wars, the third war being fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between political Zionism and political Islam. And people don't understand. Let's just define terms real quick. Political Zionism, in simple terms, is not Orthodox Judaism. It just is not. First of all, it's political. And it connotes a certain amount of, you know, Talmudic Babylonian mystery religion nonsense, the dark arts, if you will. And political Islam is not Orthodox Islam. It's best represented in Salafism and Wahhabism, a fairly new creation on the world stage. And we don't even need to get into the historical roots of Islam. It's not germane to the discussion. It really isn't. And some folks will argue that point. Oh, but if you go back, it doesn't matter, because Islam in its orthodoxy is not what's being used or leveraged and harnessed as a social virus Salafism and Wahhabism is what's being leveraged. If you do the research, if you look into it, the radical fundamentalist element of Islam is not in its orthodoxy, whether Shiite or Sunni. It's that Sunni subset of Islam, known most notably as Salafism and Wahhabism, which is being leveraged and harnessed over the last couple hundred years, which is a social virus. So those two forces are being collided together. That's pretty obvious to see for anyone with even – it's pretty obvious even to the casual observer. And so in the allegedly spurious letter, Pike wrote, "The war must be conducted in such a way that political Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other." Can we see that happening? Can we see that conflict being fomented? Rhetorical questions. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. And here is the punchline, in my opinion. Here's what we see happening day in and day out. Here is the consistent thematic element, the inescapable consistent thematic element. This is what is happening day in and day out everywhere, particularly in America. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. That's what we see happening. See, when you unleash the nihilists, they're the ones who want to raise society and all of its traditions, all of its history and traditions. Raise, R-A-Z-E. They want to burn it to the ground, destroy it all. The nihilists want to do that. The atheists have no humanity. No offense. I'm just cutting to the chase. So when you unleash the nihilists and the nihilists want to burn it all down, and you take the atheists along with them, and they want to burn it down in utterly barbaric fashion. That's what ends up happening. That's what we see happening. There is no humanity left, so to speak. No compassion. No empathy. Look around. We suffer from an anemia that is precisely the same as what Hosea described in chapter 4. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is what he says there is, what to me sounds like a Bruckheimer Simpson movie script. It's a successful movie in Hollywood these days. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Vigilante justice, which is an oxymoron. And all of this repaying. Where does the repaying ever stop? Where does it end? Retribution. Follows retribution. It's our foreign and domestic policy. The documentary, The Four Horsemen, we played the clip in the first segment. Have you seen the documentary 13th? We should play some of that. It's intriguing. It's a provocative look at some of the inescapable realities and contradictions that have followed America, haunted America as a result of the loophole, if you will, in the 13th Amendment. So Hosea makes a good point. Because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Let no one find fault. They said, yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. Don't point the finger at each other. It's time to be introspective. And like he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And folks will dispute the point, no knowledge of God in the land. Well, there's a church on every corner. Sure there is. Romans chapter 1. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Is that where we are in America today? It sure seems so. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
While Frank Sinatra sings, stormy weather, the flies and
Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. While we can't or perhaps shouldn't fully understand the grand conspiracy, satanic in its nature, we can, however, derive clues. We can take the intriguers, as Andrew Jackson might put it, the conspirators working in satanic concert at their collective word. We can read their writings. Some of them have been discussed on this broadcast and this network. They publish their machinations and their doings because their worshipful leader is a ruthless and exacting tyrant. And so a tally or a balance sheet is always required. Thus, it should come as no surprise when they exhibit the same traits of ruthlessness and tyranny. We can also observe the clues given to us through the Bible, particularly in the red letters, the words of Jesus, in the Gospels, and the book of Revelation. And it's Revelation singular, not plural, because the book of Revelation's plural is a different book by Albert Pike with an entirely different meaning. So we would do well to observe those clues. And I would say, speaking of my people perish for lack of knowledge, if we do a history lesson and go back to Genesis 6, bad things were happening. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, the same thing is coming, only this time by fire, not by water. And in Genesis 6, verse 5 in particular, it sounds like a horrible situation, but I would submit that we are fast approaching the same kind of situation. Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And people will challenge that and say, boy, that's a strong statement. How can you say that? And if we are reflective, if we are introspective, if we take a step back and we take an honest, unvarnished look at how society in America is today, I think we would see that we are more brutal and more ruthless and more tyrannical than we would like to believe that we are, than we are propagandized to believe. And we would see that, as Proverbs 12:10 says, a righteous man has regard for the life of his animal, but even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. Even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. Have you observed this? I tell you, I certainly have. I feel like I see this every day. Even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. People say, I'm doing you a favor. And you say, why do I feel brutalized by your favor? Is this where we are in America? I submit to you, we are. We're headed back to Genesis 6:5 at breakneck speed. We can't seem to get there fast enough. Second hour coming up right after this short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.